The parsha Behalosecha has several mitzvahs in it, not that many mitzvahs, but a few mitzvahs. And the mitzvah which I wanted to talk about is the mitzvah which is appropriate now. It's the mitzvah of the trumpets, which was which is commanded in the parasha. So it's in the Sefer Chinuch, it's listed as mitzvah number 384. The obligation to blow trumpets in the Beis HaMikdash and also when we go to war. When there's times of calamity, so people who see it, I didn't see it, but the video of people at the Kosol, there was shofars being blown. It's interesting, specifically shofars, because we don't do this mitzvah of trumpets today, right? It's a discussion why it's not applicable, because suddenly the mitzvah of the trumpets vis-a-vis the Beis HaMikdash, the karbanos, the sacrifices, and in the times of the desert, when the Jewish people were traveling through the desert, part of the mitzvah also was then temporarily when the camp was traveling, when the camp settled, all the encampments of the Jewish people came to rest, and when they set off on their journey, trumpets were blown then as well. So obviously that mitzvah is not applicable today. But the trumpets of the Beis HaMikdash also, not the Beis HaMikdash, but are the trumpets of times of war and tribulation. How can we do that? And that's it's discussed by the commentaries. The Ritva says, one of the Rishonim says the Ritva says the reason why we don't, this mitzvah is not done nowadays, even though, you know, it's not nothing to do, at least ostensibly, has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The Ritva says in Tractate Tainus, the reason we do not blow trumpets in times of distress today is simply because we don't have the chatzotzros, the actual trumpets which they had in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. We don't have them today. But it begs the question, so make them. So make the trumpets. So we don't have them, so make the trumpets. So what's wrong? I mean, so who says you have to have the same trumpets? So commentaries talk about how those trumpets, which were used for times of war, times of tribulation, were specifically the same trumpets which were used for the karbanos, the sacrifices as well. And it's one without the other is impossible. You can't have one without the other because the purpose of the trumpets, right? One of the purposes of the trumpets, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, the symbolism of the trumpets is to awaken us and to awaken concentration. And he says that the the trumpets, in contrast to a shofar, trumpets have a nice sound to them. There's a nice sound to them. And the beautiful sound of the trumpets arouse concentration on the thing you're engaged in, whether it be the sacrifices. The sacrifice required proper concentration, holy, pure concentration when doing the sacrifices, are also the concentration necessary for when going to war to daven purely and with holiness to Hashem. He says, I'll read the words, he says, it's well known that the Kohanim performing the Avoda needed to focus intently on its purpose. For as is known, an offering is disqualified through certain known thoughts, impure thoughts. In addition, performing the Avoda, the offering requires absolute intent to offer it before the Master of all. And likewise, at a time of tribulation, a person requires intense concentration as he supplicates his Creator, that he have mercy on him and save him from his tribulation. Therefore, we are charged with blowing the trumpets at these times. Because a person, due to the fact that he's a material being, needs much inspiration towards spiritual matters before he can concentrate on them. For a man's physical nature, without anything arousing it, stands unmoved as if asleep. Now, nothing awakens him like the sound of music. The sound of music, and that's the trumpets. It wasn't like the shofar. It was a beautiful sound. This matter is well known. And all the more so, the sound of the trumpets, which is the loudest sound of all the musical instruments. So there was a beautiful sound to it. But the point is there's a common denominator between the trumpets for the sacrifices and the trumpets for going to war. It was required to arouse concentration. So some commentaries say that because the trumpets for this aren't here anymore, so therefore we don't even use the trumpets for the times of tribulation, times of war either. But that's one of the intentions of the trumpets, the beautiful sound, to arouse concentration, to focus, and to purify the mind, to purify the thoughts with the sacrifice, and to purify our thoughts with respect to davening to Hashem in times of tribulation. The Chinuch says another reason as well, another benefit of the trumpets is simply the loudness of the sound, the shocking, which is similar to the shofar, the loud sound, the kol chatzotzros, the sound of the chatzotzros, the fiyadoma. It appears to me, he says, aside from the arousal that it makes in terms of helping us to concentrate with a beautiful sound, but also the power of the sounds causes to p- push away other extraneous thoughts in your mind. They turn away other extraneous thoughts. So really, there are two aspects, he says. That is, not only does the sound of the trumpets generate a positive surge within a person's consciousness, which impels him to focus on the matter at hand, but it also drives away thoughts that might divert his attention away from that focus. So it's a little bit similar to the general principle of Sor Meira Va'asei Tov. Turn away from evil and do good. That's a famous pasuk in Tehillim. Always balancing the turning away from evil, looking at the negativity, looking at the faults, and turning away from the negativity and the faults inside of ourselves. But also coupled with that, focus on the positive. Just focus on the proactive, positive things which we can do, which de facto or through the back door help us to grow. It's a balance. Always Sor Meira Va'asei Tov. So the same thing also the trumpets. You have this double dimension. You've got the Asei Tov of the trumpets, the beautiful sound, the sounds which help us to concentrate and to focus in a proactive, positive way, but also the Sor Meira, the turning away from negativity, of causing us to push away the extraneous thoughts and ideas in our minds in order to focus exclusively on the carbon, the sacrifice, or praying to Hashem in times of war. But this is what he said, this is what the trumpets are about. Some facts and figures about the trumpets. I was going to call this class the 21 gun salute, right? So it turns out actually that there is a minimum number of 21 blasts of the trumpet in the base of Mikdash. Minimally 21 every day over the karbonos, over the sacrifices, because the sacrifices also had the trumpets done on a daily basis. So there was a minimum of 21 blasts and a maximum of 48. So it's a 21-48. So that's it's simply based upon just the amount of sacrifices which were brought, and depending on the day. So the minimum 21 blasts. I looked into this. The origin of the expression the 21 gun salute does not come from this, right? this is called the 21 trumpet salute. So that's number one. Another thing also, the Chinuch writes, it says over here that there had to be a minimum of two trumpets in the base of Mikdash, and no more than 120. So there were times when they had 120 trumpets for some reason, I'm not sure why. A minimum of two trumpets, a maximum of 120, made of silver, one mass of silver. Right? Not gold, but silver. And these are some of the halachas of the trumpets. So again, when do we blow the trumpets? When were they blown? So times of calamity, times of war, over the sacrifices as well. But what the pasuk says in the parasha, what the pasuk explicitly says, is also when they were traveling. When they were traveling, when they began to unpack the packing up the Mishkan, start traveling, and also when they came to their encampment as well. Trumpets were blown then as well. And also, it says Yomim Tovim, Rosh Chodesh, as well as Shabbos, as well as Shabbos. Now, this is interesting because if you look at the Pasuk, it doesn't say Shabbos explicitly, but it's derived by the Sifri. The Sifri says that they were blown on Shabbos too. The Pasuk just says, it says, B'yom Simchasachem, B'moadeichem, they blew them on the days of your joy, and on your Moadim, on the holiday, on the Yomim Tovim, Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh. But the Sifri derives from the word Yom Simchasachem, it's referring to Shabbos. That Shabbos is a day of Simcha as well. We'll get into that afterwards. But these are the days that they were blown. Also, rabbinically, they used to blow on Erev Shabbos as well to announce the coming in of Shabbos. So that was another usage of that. And as I said, the daily sacrifices, traveling and camping, war, etc. So these are the different usages of the trumpets in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. Now, here's an interesting question. So the way that they were blown, right, was always through the standard structure of tekiah truah tekiah. Those sounds like a shofar, tekiah truah tekiah. That's what it's. That's what, whenever they were blown, that's how they were blown. However, if you look in the Chumash, if you look carefully at the verses about the blowing of the trumpets, the verses vary from pasuk to pasuk and occasion to occasion, from using the word tekiah to using the word teruah. So you can look through the verses there and look. You'll notice that sometimes, for example, I'm looking in verse 9. It says, "When you come to war in your land against your enemy, v'hareosem b'chatzotras, blow the trumpets." But the verb used over there is truah, not takia, truah, right? Then in the next verse, in the verse about being blown on Yom Tovim, on days of Simcha and joy, it says Yom Simchasam Vadechem Rosh Chodeshchem Usakatem Bechatzotras. You should blow the trumpets using the word Tekiah. And this varies, goes back and forth. Sometimes it says the word Tekiah, sometimes it says the word Trua. But again, in the actual practice, it seems from the Chinuch that they always did it as a Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. The question is why the Torah doesn't say, or why does the Torah, you know, change the language, change the emphasis, change the stress, change the emphasis from Tekiah to Trua, depending on the occasion, right? Interesting question. So the Ramban says, the Ramban explains in general, right? What is the difference between a Tekiah sound and a Trua sound? We know the Tekiah sound is a straight sound, and a Trua sound is a broken sound. But what is the significance of those two sounds? So the Ramban says the significance of the two sounds is that the Trua sound, the broken sound, is reminiscent of din, of judgment, of divine judgment. And that's expressed also in the very nature of the sound itself. It's broken, it's wailing, it's crying. There's an element, there's a spirit of din and severity in the sound of the Trua. The Tekiah is a straight sound. It's a straight sound. It's like plain, and it's a kol rotzav, zorim, beretzav, ba'ofen, cholok. It's a smooth, straight sound without any obstacles, no obstructions, nothing disturbing it. It's a straight, smooth sound. So therefore, that corresponds to chesed, to mercy, to the opposite of din. And that's the difference. So you have these two, the Tekiah Trua, din and rachamim. These are the two sounds. It's interesting on Rosh Hashanah, right, where it's, you know, we have throughout the entire day, it's Tekiah Trua, Tekiah, with Trua in the middle, which is the sound of din, but surrounded on each side, flanked on both sides of chesed, because the din should be turned into a chesed, into mercy, and a good judgment of Rosh Hashanah. But that's the significance of the two sounds. So if you use that formula and then plug it into the different times that the trumpets were blown, it fits perfectly, because what does it say about the blowing the trumpets at times of war? Hari Osam, Trua, right? Because it's din. It's troubling. It's like it's the sound of wailing and crying. So therefore, trumpets, the Trua sound is emphasized when it comes to war. Again, it could be that they actually blew the formula Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah. The point we're looking at right now is more this is based upon Ritzotik Cohen of Lublin, the Preet Tzaddik. So it could be we're just discussing the reason why the Torah emphasizes one dimension of the sound. So war is Trua, broken, din, right? The special days is Tekiah, right? Days of joy. Tekiah, it's a straight sound of joy, of mercy and chesed. Now, the other occasions, if you look through the verses, you'll see that that gathering of the camp, and the gathering of the Nasiim, the heads of the tribes, also the trumpets were blown then as well. The gathering of the camp, so Tekiah, it's a beautiful sound. It's like it's a nice sound of kindness and chesed and mercy. The camp is now gathered together in one place. However, right, the traveling though was truer. Traveling is truer. Traveling is the truest sound. The sound of din is emphasized in the traveling. Now you see, Simon is thinking to himself. He's got his vacations planned. And he's thinking about where he's going. And why would that be a time of din? Maybe because he spends so much money when you go on vacation. This is what Sadek talks about. He says, you know, why attacker is it? Why is it the case that the traveling, when the camp is traveling, that's a truer sound which denotes din and wailing and crying? And the answer is because traveling, right? When you travel, traveling is not easy. Traveling is an unsettling experience. You know, I don't know if Mooney still exists, but they used to be in yester generation, or, you know, a number of decades ago. Moonies would hang out at they would hang. This is fact.
You're showing your age.
I heard this years ago. Right? This is what they deliberately would hang out at airports, right? Because airports are a place of dissettlement, unsettlement. People are traveling, they're going, their emotions are high. It's an unsettled place. It's a perfect place to try to do some kirov. Now there's no Moonies there, but you'll find Chabadniks there. That's where they're doing the tefillah. It's the same thing. It's like trying to bring people in. It's like at a time of vulnerability. No, it's a good thing. It's on the contrary. It's a very good thing. You know, you have to, so, but the point is, when you're traveling is a time of unsettlement, right? Mm. It's a time of unsettlement. It's just the reality, you know, that when you're climbing a ladder, for example, it's very interesting to me. You climb a ladder. If you look in slow motion, the climbing of a ladder, as you take one step to the next rung, where's the fort between the first rung and the second rung? It's in midair. It's a very, very vulnerable place to be. Making that change to the next rung is a very, very unsettling experience. Change is unsettling. However, the Jewish people, you know, they were required to go through 42 encampments. The Psukim track 42 encampments of the Jewish. These trumpets which were being blown on these encampments, 42 in general, 42 altogether. What's the significance of 42? Right, what's the significance of 42? So there's one of the holiest names of Hashem, for the 42 letter name of Hashem. Mm. So there's a great significance in these 42 encampments. It's really a picture of the entire collective ascent of the Jewish people going higher and higher in that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in every step along the way, there's a necessarily step before that of the unsettlement of making that change to go to the next step. But if you don't make the change, you never get to the next step. But those 42 encampments are what the Jewish people went through. And he says that those, it's actually the 42 letter name, it's actually in the Onna B'Koach prayer on Friday night. There's the very Kabbalistic prayer, Onna B'Koach. It's that the heads of those, the tops of the first letters, they all spell out the 42 letter name of Hashem. That's why at the end of it you say Baruch Shem Kuvod Malchuso Lom Ved, which is, we just said the entire name of Hashem, the 42 letter name of Hashem. Mm. But the 42 letters, the 42 encampments of the Jewish people, you know, are really also a metaphor. It's not just about the Jewish people in the desert, but it's also a metaphor for us as well, because this is our life. This is the Bali Musa say that we're going through our different journeys of life. We're going through. I remember we discussed this a number of years ago. Someone asked me, what are those 42 encampments in our life? So I don't know what they are. I don't know if anyone has ever done a calculation to actually identify 42 distinct stages in a person's life. But seemingly there would be some kind of parallel. If there are 42, you know, if there are 42 encampments for the Jewish people on a macro level, perhaps there's 42 steps for a person in their lifetime. So you'd have to figure out what those 42 steps are. But this is the experience of traveling. This is the experience of traveling. Traveling is inevitably difficult and hard and unsettling, and that's why the truest sound is blown then as well. But I said before that the Pasuk doesn't say Shabbos explicitly. Right, they blew the shofar on Shabbos too. It just says Yom Simchasachem, Muadechem, etc., which on the surface just refers to Yom Tovim, the Muadim, the Yom Tovim. So, but again, the Sifri says, Rashi quotes the Sifri, that Yom Simchasachem is Shabbos as well. Meaning to say that Shabbos is a day of Simcha. This question we've had before. We've had this conversation before. Is the spirit of Shabbos Simcha, or is it Oneg? And what is the energy of Shabbos? So until this point, I always said that the midah and the spirit of Shabbos is Oneg Shabbos. We have the Oneg Shabbos. And the spirit of Yom Tov is Simcha. Simcha is Yom Tov. So until then, or until today, that's what I thought. And I would tell people, no, Shabbos is not really a day of Simcha. But now I stand corrected. Shabbos, I mean, on a superficial level, it's a day of Simcha. But even on a deeper level, we're being told over here, is that on a deeper level, Shabbos is a day of Simcha. It's a day of Simcha. The difference between Shabbos and Simcha and Yom Tov is that on Yom Tov, right, Yom Tov, there's commandments to stimulate the Simcha. There are commandments to stimulate the Simcha. Ein Simcha lebebasa v'yayin. There's no joy except with meat and wine and the different vehicles to stimulate the Simcha, because Simcha is challenging to have. A lot of people don't have natural Simcha. They're not necessarily wired to be happy. We have like an inertia to be sad and depressed. So therefore we need to use mechanisms and devices to be able to stimulate our Simcha. Hence we have on Yom Tov, Ein Simcha Ela Bebasa V'Yayin, meat and wine. But on Shabbos, there's no vehicle to create that Simcha. The reason is, you know why? Because Simcha, because the Ritzadik says that Shabbos is intrinsically Simcha. It's intrinsically Simcha. You don't need any external devices. Why? Mm. Why is that? Because you've reached your destination. You've reached your destination. Mm. We've reached the destination. The weekday is about those 42 journeys, those 42 ups and downs, they're going through the difficulties. That's the week. That's the weekday. But on Shabbos, that's why they blow the tekiah on Shabbos. The word which is used for the trumpets of Shabbos is tekiah, because we've reached our destination, right? Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. We've reached our destination. We've reached our point. You know, they say, just turn your phone off there, please. They say that he brings over here that there's no yet, that the power of the Yetzirah diminishes on Shabbos. Mm. There's no battle. We're not battling with the Yetzirah. When you go through, and we're talking about a Shabbos, which is an immersive Shabbos, an immersive Shabbos, where one is completely disconnected from the world, right? And it's it's interesting. There's an expression, no traveling on Shabbos. I always heard that expression. We don't travel on Shabbos. Mm. But I never understood what that expression meant. I mean, I understand it's referring to driving, but the word traveling, I don't know why. So I was thinking about this. There's no traveling on Shabbos, right? Because we're traveling during the week. During the week, we're traveling. During the week, we're moving. We're kind of going through the challenges and the ups and downs, the 42 encampments during the week. But on Shabbos, there's no traveling. We've reached our destination. We're there. There's no fight with the Yetzirah. I mean, there's all sorts of ideas. We could go on forever with this. But, some of the things which the Tzaddik says is, for example, the 3 days before Shabbos, which would be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, are days of preparing the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. We're building up the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Don't ask me to explain this. This is more Kabbalistic. But but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is the building up of the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, and readiness for the full Kedusha, the Neshama Yeseira, the extra level of Neshama on Shabbos. And then Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday is now the integration of all of the Kedusha of Shabbos back into the Nefesh Ruach Neshama in the coming week as well. And then all of that collective Kedusha, which was collected, the Nefesh Ruach Neshama, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, then feeds into the next preparation of the building up of the Nefesh Ruach Neshama for the following Shabbos. And this explains why the Gemara says that if the Jewish people would only keep Shabbos for 2 Shabbosim, then the Geula would come. The redemption will come. Why 2 Shabbosim? Because the 2 Shabbos, because you need, because what happened, it starts off with the first Shabbos feeds the first 3 days of the week, which then feeds the next 3 days of the week, which then is completed in the Shabbos afterwards. So you need to have 2 Shabbos. 2 Shabbosim is what Chazal say ultimately brings the Geula. Also, all these different customs I never heard of before. The Baal Shem Tov used to have a tradition of reading chapter 107 of Tehillim on Erev Shabbos. That was his custom. Why that? Because that capital of Tehillim is Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lam Chasto Yomru Geulei Hashem Asher Ga'olam Miyad Tzar. That Hashem, those who have been redeemed, they praise Hashem for being redeemed. Because as we go into Shabbos, there is a weekly redemption. The spirit is being redeemed from the clutches of the Yetzirah on Shabbos. And this parak of Tehillim is the source for the halacha that there are 4 types of people who have to bench gomel when being released from very trying situations. A person who's traveling across the sea, or a person's released out of jail, because Shabbos is geula. Shabbos is the redemption. Shabbos is reaching the destination, reaching our source, reaching it. And therefore, again, that's why we say the sound which is emphasized is the truest sound as well. I'm just reading to him, just sharing you the things from this piece over here. He brings over here the importance, therefore, of going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. Here, Bob, if Bob's here, I think he's here somewhere. He does that. I do it too, right? So you go to the mikvah. There's a custom to go to the mikvah every Erev Shabbos, right? Because as we are preparing to receive the Neshama Yaseira, so then we want to purify ourselves by going to the mikvah. And the Chinuch says in mitzvah number 173, that the significance in general of the mikveh, the water of the mikveh, he writes, I'll explain to you the meaning of the mikveh, of the water of the mikveh, is kadei shiyir ha'odem es atzmo achra tevila, the person should look at himself after going into the mikveh as though he's being created brand new, as though he's nivra ba'usa, he's being created in that moment. Kamusha ha'olam kulo, mayim, just like the whole world, was water at the time of creation. Right, as the pasuk says, "V'ruach Elokim erachefes al pnei amayim." The spirit of Hashem was hovering over the water, the waters of the deep. So there's a very, very deep spiritual dimension to water. goes back to the time of creation. Vayitein alibay b'dimyon, a person should put it to his mind to imagine. Ki kemoshen es chadish begufo, yechadish gam kein pulosof. So therefore, when his body is being renewed in going to the mikveh, his actions should also be renewed as well. You're being reborn again every Erev Shabbos in readiness of the Shabbos. V'yachshem asav v'yedakte b'darkei b'darkei. A person should be careful in the ways of Hashem. That's going to the mikveh. That's going to the mikveh on Erev Shabbos. It's a brand new experience. A brand new, you know. So it's a new beginning again. Another thing, also, just another very valuable idea. Tzaddik writes. He says that the klolas which Adam Arishan, the curses which Adam Arishan were given, the terrible curse of bezeis apercha tochel lechem, you have to, by the sweat of your brow, parnasa, livelihood, and also death as well, because that was also decreed with the eating of the tree of knowledge. Death didn't exist, but there were three curses altogether that man experienced, not the, aside from women's childbirth, but the three curses are death, the sweat of earning a livelihood, and etzev, and sadness. Sadness and etzev is sadness and depression, and all of these things don't exist on Shabbos, right? Mm-hmm. Shabbos is you're out of the woods, and this is the tranquility. This is the respite that the Shabbos provides for a person. It's a day of joy. It's an intrinsic day of joy. It's stepping into the different reality, stepping into a different world, and experiencing just that holiness of the Shabbos. But again, bringing it back to the trumpets, right? That's why the trumpets are the straight sound of Shabbos. But when you're traveling is that's when it's all difficult. But traveling is an important thing. We have to travel, not just on vacation. Traveling is the traveling of the challenges of life, right? It's the challenges of life. When we try to avoid the challenges of life, we don't go to new places. And it's a reality. It's the inevitable reality. The truer sound of the traveling is part of the reality. I have a quote over here from Thomas Jefferson. If you want something you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done. Right? If you want something you've never had, you've got to be willing to do something you've never done. And change is difficult. Going on to the next step is difficult. It's very, very, because we don't want to go through the lack of equilibrium, lack of balance. It's uncomfortable. It's going to cause all these eruptions. But if I don't make the, that's the true of change. The true of change is that's reality. But I'm going to deprive myself of the tekiah of being settled, the tekiah of serenity, of the tekiah of the Shabbos, because I don't want to go through the truer of the change. I'm depriving myself of growing. I'm going to be stuck on level number one. I'm not going to be traveling through these 42 steps of the 42 names of Hashem with 42 levels of Kedusha. I'm stuck with them. I don't want to make the change. I don't want to make the disruption. I don't want to go through the difficulty. But you're depriving yourself of what's next. Look at that next level. I'm depriving myself. Don't focus on the truer. Focus on the tekiah. Focus on that beautiful tekiah sound, which is going to be waiting for you on the next level up. And this is all part of the same idea of the famous, I think it's a pasuk or it's a chazal, ki nefalti komti, because I fell, I got up. It's those nefilas which bring us up, which make us high. It's those the falling down. If I'm not willing to embrace the possibility and the potential of failure, of falling down, and the changes and all of the difficulties involved, I don't get up. You know, I heard a few weeks ago when I was in Brooklyn for Shabbos, the word tzaddik, right? Tzaddik is a righteous person. Right, a tzaddik falls but gets up seven. That's another quote also. Right, the shiv yipul tzaddik, a righteous person falls seven times but keeps getting up. That's a righteous person. But the word tzaddik is also the same word used for the letter tzaddik as well. Some people pronounce it as tzaddi, but it's some people as tzaddik. But the letter tzaddi or tzaddik, if you look at it, you have to visualize it. You know, I'm going to try and draw the shape. The shape of a tzaddi is like this. Right, like that, and a little line above that. If you look at it, how it's written in the Sefer Torah, letters are comprised of component letters. So the component letters of the tzaddi is actually a nun and a yud. And the nun is the first letter of nefalti, of nefal, I fell down, and the yud is Hashem, right? So whenever, if all the fallings down and all of the difficulty, all the disruptions and the lack of equilibrium of the falling down, always remember Hashem is on top. And in our context over here, the tekiah is heralding its cry in front of us, or it's called in front of us, that tekiah is waiting for us. If we just are willing to go through that change, the difficulty of taking the step and putting my foot into this space in the air and now being vulnerable, now being subject to difficulties and challenges. But look at that next step. Look at the next step. So I want to finish off with this quote over here from Nachman of Breslov. There's a book I have. I found this in the house called Sea of Wisdom, Challenging Challenges, Living with the Waves. It's a good title, right? So he quotes over here, Rav Nachman of Breslov, when a person goes from one level to the next, they must go through certain dimyonas or imaginations and other challenges from the Yetzer Hara in order to get to a higher level of holiness. But don't worry, Rav Nachman then said that in this area, many Hasidim are mistaken, for they think that they've suddenly fallen. Right, they think that as we encounter new challenges, we think, oh, I'm falling down again, I'm falling down in my avodas Hashem. No, in truth, it's not a descent at all. Rather, since they must ascend from level to level, the evil forces, the temptations, the confusions, the imaginations, the thoughts, the opposite, are awakened anew and get stronger. Therefore, it's always necessary to strengthen oneself time and time again with fresh vigor to subdue and break these evil forces and overcome these obstacles, which are at each and every new level one ascends to. But again, in truth, it's not a downfall. It's not a downfall or a descent at all. It's an ascent. You're going up and up and up. But every step you're taking, there's going to be challenges. But if we don't have those challenges, we don't get to that next step. So we'll end off with, if you want something you've never had, you must be willing to do something you've never done. And therefore, we should face the truer in order to enjoy the tekiah.